Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to South Podcast, episode 387, International House of Podcasts. I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Severn. And we've got pancakes. So their thing is like burgers, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's funny, like brands are not your friends, but it is kind of amusing when they bare their fangs at each other and start being snipey.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Wendy's, what you gonna do? Oh, well, we're not gonna be too scared of a place to decide if pancakes were too hard.
Yeah.
Burger King changed their name, their display name, to Pancake King. It was silly, but it's like their burgers are all like $13 or so.
I haven't looked
depending on the thing. It's like their introductory burger is just a basic-ass burger, and it's $7. But if you want it, same basic-ass burger, but with bacon, it's like $13.
What? Bacon cost $5.
Well, no, it's just like
$6. No.
Just the basic burger. If you want to try their burgers, and then all their other quote specialty things are all the same price point around. So that's silly.
Well, I hardly ever eat there anyway, and like I looked at their menu because I was looking for allergy information, and I discovered that like, oh, it's a good thing I don't eat it there. Like, all but one thing has soy in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
like, I believe the Belgian waffle is the only thing that doesn't have soy. Like, every permutation of pancake has soy.
What the hell? Really?
A lot of it is probably into toppings. You know, like, if you get, like, a strawberry topping or something like that.
International House of Soy Boys. Oh, no.
IHOS. So I'm kind of like, and it's very similar to Original Pancake House in that way. Like,
yeah.
There's only a couple, like, I was getting sick eating there, and I was like, what the fuck? I'm eating breakfast food. And it's like, there's not supposed to be any soy in their eggs or their omelet dishes or anything like that.
And yet.
But I have an allergic reaction every time I eat that stuff. But I'm okay with a waffle there. So I'm like... I don't know what's up with OPH, but it doesn't say their shit has soy on their website, but something that they use in the prep clearly does.
Yeah.
It's probably the non-stick cooking spray.
Yeah, actually, probably.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't need, if you have an allergy, it doesn't need a lot of contact.
No. And that shit has soy in it. Most non-stick cooking sprays have soy.
Though, one thing that doesn't have soy in it.
African. Yes.
So you had a restaurant in mind this evening. So we always podcast dinner together.
Yeah.
Well, generally. Sometimes Shiva cooks. Sometimes we hit restaurants on our own. Sometimes we have dinner with Panther, which is generally Whataburger.
Yeah.
But tonight.
So a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned on the podcast that I was reading a book called Kabu Kabu by Nnedi Okorafor. And it's a collection of short stories that she's written. And in a strange, like, comparison to Kyle Gold, something that she does a lot is talk about the food her characters are eating. And a lot of her, she's a Nigerian American. So a lot of her short stories are semi-autobiographical, just in more fantastical circumstances, but a lot of them take place in Nigeria. So she's like writing about like a lot of the native foods and dishes that she's eaten before. And that kind of got me interested and like, this shit sounds pretty good. I'd like to try this, you know? And I'm like, African food is like all my friends go out on these food ventures and nine times out of 10, it's like, dim sum, sushi, Korean barbecue. It's something from Asia. Something I know is going to be loaded with fucking soy and kill me. And I was like, African food. This doesn't seem to have soy in it. And I looked it up. And I was like, okay. there's an African restaurant here in town. And it's called Africa Fusion because it's not just from one district, because we have like an Ethiopian restaurant too. But it's from, there's dishes from all over the continent, and their menu is subdivided. Like there's like from the East, from the West, there's a dish from South Africa. And I was like, I've been thinking about this for a few days, actually, where I was kind of like, I'd kind of like to try that. And I was like, I bet Savern would be up for, for something different and giving that a shot. So we went out and ate at Africa Fusion tonight, and it was good.
Yeah, and you can tell it's one of those things where you can say, oh, this place is super authentic when it's all, well, you and I, Fuzz, were two-thirds of the white people in their entire restaurant that was quite full.
Yeah.
We were very much white faces in black spaces. But it was really good. I had a Kenyan beef dish with like fried yucca and I forget, it had a name, but it was like peas, potatoes, and corn mashed up. It basically was like green mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
But it was really good. So I ended up with double starches, which isn't great, but I tried, like, that looks good, that looks good.
It was one of those nights where, like I have no idea how to count the fucking calories for that meal in my fitness tracker. I wouldn't know where to start.
But delicious.
Yeah, it was, like, one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm not going to worry so much about the calorie count. I want to try something different. And, you know, there was a lot of other stuff on there, on their menu, that I wanted to try. Like, I had a chicken dish tonight, but they have a goat meat soup. And I wanted to give that a shot also, but you know, you can't eat fucking everything in one sitting. So we'll have to go back. Well, and, I'm like, we need to drag Shiva and Sarah because I know they like to go to different foods and try, you know, they've done a couple of diners dives, drives in and dives. Like you guys did that sandwich shop when you went to Haven Con.
Yeah. That was really like, I forget what something street sandwich co.
Yeah.
That was quite good.
The Fat Street Sandwich.
And yeah, we're very lucky in that we have a ton of different restaurant choices here that won't necessarily include soy.
Yeah.
Like there's Ethiopian, some Thai, you can get away from some soy in some cases there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, y'all would have to carefully walk me through Thai food.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to try it.
Mexican. Then, of course, there's the European food, which doesn't have a ton of soy in it. There's a really good German place that's off of 75 and Parker,
I think. And I still want to try the fucking Canadian place.
Yeah, we need to go out there.
We tried to go to this to a Canadian restaurant. Was it Maple House?
I think so.
Yeah. Very stereotypically Canadian name. But we tried to go out there, and we went out there, and they had a sign on their door saying, sorry, our grill is broken.
It's so
Maple Leaf Diner. So they were closed. And like, yeah, of course they sell poutine. And of course I'm going to try the poutine. But they serve other stuff also. And I'm just like, fucking hearty Canadian food? Yeah. Let's give that a shot. Damn right. Darn tootin'.
But these are all places here near us, not too far afield.
Within like a 10-mile radius of where we live.
There's pretty much anything we want to try, we can try.
Dallas is, I mean, a lot of people, when you think culture, you probably don't think Dallas. It doesn't spring to your mind. But honestly, Dallas is a very multicultural city. Like, we have a lot of shit here, and we have a lot of immigrants here and a lot of people of different cultures. And it's really cool because you can try out different stuff like that.
And when you have particular theologies like soy.
Yeah.
Well, because like my dad, he's not allergic to soy, but he's like allergic to MSG. And he's allergic to like peanut oil. And so like a lot of places that do fried food, they switch to peanut oil. Or they've got MSG and all their stuff. Because like my dad can't go to Cotton Patch Cafe anymore because there's MSG and everything. Except for like their burgers. And he's like, if I'm going to go to burgers, I'm going to go to Whataburger.
Yeah, yeah. That's a couple of bad ones. Like MSG and peanuts are in fucking everything, and soy is in a ton of shit. So like, between your dad and me, we wouldn't be able to eat anywhere.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not allergic to meat.
Yeah.
So we're doing Father's Day stuff here on Sunday.
Right.
We'll be going out. I'll be seeing him. Got a real packed weekend ahead too. It's the Pokemon Go Community Day, which is I'll be doing stuff.
Oh, with... did you say packed weekend?
Packed weekend, yeah.
I thought you said I got a real bad weekend.
No,
which
no,
I thought
no,
was
no.
odd because you're like, I'm seeing my dad for Father's Day. I've got a real bad weekend. No. I was like, what?
Or it's like, no, I'm got the Pokemon Go Community Day. We had the Ajax Kyo and Helicity going out to Grave Run Mills.
That's Saturday.
That's Saturday, but also then going out to McKinney to see some friends that same night.
Right.
And then Sunday, we got Fort Worth seeing Panthers. Doing Father's Day with his dad, and his dad's birthday is like Monday, so it was, we are absolutely packed weekend. It's gonna be fun. You know, it's been an all right week personally. Again, like 2 weeks ago, or was it? No, yeah, it was 2 weeks ago on Sunday when I had that nasty panic attack. I haven't had anything else since, thankfully. Yeah. You know, I did get some messages from folks like, hey, you know, try using the Breathe app on your watch. And a lot of it is stressing out over social media and the news and like
you're Fenico, you're extremely online
and brain poisoned because of it.
And you might have to, you know, Fenico doesn't live in MAGA land.
No,
but you do.
There was a really funny thing I saw that I think it was Ben Diskin who retweeted it. It's like, how can you tell that Agrosuko takes place in Japan? It's not the yen, it's not the work uniforms, it's the fact that when a millennial gets sick, he goes to the hospital
and doesn't just stay at home and hope it goes away. Lots of karaoke, I think, was one of the other things he mentioned.
That's fun though
because Haida gets pneumonia and he calls into work and he's in the hospital for like 3 days in one of the episodes.
It's not a big deal. Oh, it's a cute show, but poor Ben. He recognizes that the age of Haida is over.
It's all about Wolf now. Yep,
the new buff daddy bisexual icon.
So what do we have to specify? Wolf O'Donnell. Majority of people know that, but
you didn't necessarily.
No, I knew because I've seen the fan art in the Rule 34, and I played Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, so I'm somewhat familiar with the characters. But somebody replied to me on Twitter. They're like, Wolf, just like a wolf in general? Is this a specific wolf? And I was like, yes, it's the wolf from the Star Fox games.
Yeah, the naming convention in those games is pretty bad. Like, the main character's name is Fox. He's a fox.
Yeah.
And his antagonist is Wolf O'Donnell. It's like, I am human. You know, that my name is human. No, it's not.
Yeah.
So this weekend is Benny 3.
And someone actually drew...
go ahead.
Someone actually drew a sketch of Haida and another Anthro character. I'm not sure who it was supposed to be. They were like sitting in an alley, and like Wolf O'Donnell was like strutting by, and there was like people around him, and it was like entire furry fandom.
I think the other one's supposed to be Greg.
From Night in the Woods. Okay.
Yeah, it was Greg and then Haida, and now Wolf is around. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of character personality, but he did get a redesign. And as I mentioned, it's E3 week, so it's the week-long death march for everybody in that industry.
Right.
While the rest of us get millions of dollars worth of ads shoved into our eyeballs. But, you know, it's fun, usually. Like, there's more Star Fox. Star Fox is in... this game called Starlink, so it's like a Switch exclusive thing where you get a little mini R-Wing with a little Fox thing.
Fox will be a Switch.
Yes, Fox will be a Switch.
Fox is a Switch.
It's confirmed. It's right there. The Verge tweeted about it.
Yeah.
It was just a screen cap of someone had multiple tabs open. So Star Fox will be a Switch exclusive because obviously Nintendo's not going to let their IP go into another platform. But
Fox is a Switch.
And so is Wolf, apparently. Like, everybody in Star Fox is canonically bisexual. That's just how it is. Except for Slippy. Slippy does not fuck.
I thought he went to, like, the aquarium.
He goes to the World of Tanks message board to try to hook up, and it doesn't work.
Oh.
There's been a lot of, you know, generally exciting video game stuff. There's another Battlefield V.
I'm glad that Star Fox is back in the news because I'm just here for the porn.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's the thing.
Like, the video game stuff, like E3, has just whooshed past my ears like a warm breeze. And then suddenly my timeline is full of buff wolf guy in punky jacket. And I'm like, and my AD timeline is the same, but he has his dick out.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, so E3 happens and I'm going to get some hot Wolf on Fox art out of it.
Totally. Cool. There was,
I'm good with video games now.
The screen cap of just Wolf Fox's face where it's like, I want you to raw me in the R-Wing until I can't walk.
Yes, that was hilarious.
So Star Fox is getting some new content. Wolf is in Smash Brothers again. Basically, Smash Brothers is like every character ever coming back in one big game. Wolf got a redesign, so he's very much like he's sort of like a bisexual pride flag in his design, in his color scheme.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh shit, giant bisexual icon, Wolf O'Donnell.
Oh, and you've given us this during Pride Month. Thank you, Nintendo.
Well, you know, Pride Month and E3, games are now officially gay.
That's right.
Because there's
a lot. Because apparently there's a lot of lesbians.
There's a lot of gay going on in video games right now. In Furries, though, Tunic, which is getting published by Finji, same people that were published Night in the Woods and a couple other games.
Right.
It's a cute little fox Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah.
Which looks cute as hell.
So he's like a little 8-bit kind of
isometric thing. He's a little fox in a little green tunic, and he has a sword, and he fights enemies, and it looks cute as hell. And it's coming out on everything, which is nice, I think. I think it's coming out on everything. I know it's coming out on PC, and that's what matters.
Hot take.
Well, I mean, I have a PS4, I've got a Switch, and everything that's exclusive on Microsoft consoles goes to Windows. Mm. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So if it's exclusive to Xbox, you'll be able to play it on
PC.
On PC. Cool. All right.
Like, I don't think there's really anything right now that has been a Xbox One exclusive that has not been ported to PC.
Mm.
So I could be wrong, but basically anything that they put out, I can play. So I'm in a really good spot in terms of video games right now. But also, video games are being pretty gay.
And speaking of gay and speaking of foxes, as we were earlier, I just want to shout out that really awesome gif of Nick Wilde in a bikini
shaking his ass,
throwing his balls in his tail hole right in the viewer's face, and I'm just like,
speaking of foxes, for sure.
And occasionally you see a piece of art that's just so perfect that you're like, god damn, I love being a furry.
Yeah. So, gay video games. There's Battlefield 5. I don't know if it's supposed to be Battlefield 5 or Battlefield V, because the last one was Battlefield 1, which was set in World War 1. This one's set during World War 2 in the European front.
Mm.
So either way, the next Battlefield is hella gay. And, well, it's sort of gay, but it has the gamers riled up because you can also choose to be, you know, non-white and or a woman.
Right.
But, like, the story mode thing that they just showed was, like, the main character is a queer woman who was fighting the occupation of Nazi forces in, you know, Norway. And that was, like, a preview of their single-player stuff. And their single-player stuff is... That sounds
historically accurate.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, queers were rounded up along with Jews and other... And gypsies and... Or, sorry, Romani and... anybody else that the Germans didn't like.
So she was fighting back. And they use their single player content to basically show you the different modes of play in the game. So like this will, you know, her section is a story mission that, you know, shows a certain type of gameplay.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be other characters and other people that will show their types of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
There's The Last of Us 2 main character, Ellie, is totally a lesbian.
Nice.
It was canonic. It was like, she was a lesbian in the first game, and like in the preview, she is totally a big old lesbian again. Like they bookend. This is one of the things where they kind of use the gay as a shock factor, where like there's like this peaceful scene because The Last of Us is not post apocalypse, but there are sections of humanity that has rebuilt themselves, and so like there are safe spaces for people to live, and they're at a dance, and you know, Ellie kisses, you know, she's talking to this other girl and they kiss. Mm-hmm. And then like it pans, and then it's like scenes of intense violence of her like killing the shit out of people and zombies. And then as the trailer ends, it swoops back around and they're kissing, and then they break the kiss.
And then I saw someone made just a loop.
We just cut everything in the middle out, cut out all the violence, and it's just a big gay kiss.
Yeah.
And it loops.
And one of the, a tweet that was dumb but amused me was like, I'm not familiar with the culture of women. Maybe it's just a friendly kiss. And I'm like, the culture of women, you know? Like,
yeah. It's
really?
You know, locking lips with your gal pals is at a dance where your hands are on each other's necks is just friendly.
It's just like saying bro jobs are
bros
a thing.
Being bros.
Bros being bros. You want to help a brother out, you know?
Yeah. You know, help him out. Just, you know, fuck me. That'll be great. Yeah. Nothing, no homo, right? See what else.
Source the balls, don't touch, bro. Oh, come.
There's the new Assassin's Creed game, which is set in Greece during the Peloponnesian War. And did you guys know the Greeks were hella gay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you choose between a male character or a female character. They're like siblings. And they're basically mercenaries dicking around the Aegean, helping out the fight between either Athens or Sparta.
Uh-huh.
And you can hook up with whomever. Mm-hmm. So basically the NPCs are orientated towards the character. Basically everybody's bisexual. So uh-huh. if you are playing the male character, you can hook up with the male NPCs or the female NPCs. Same for the women. You can hook up with whomever. You can have a different hole in every port. It's cool.
Nice.
And people are like, that's not historically accurate. I'm like, holy shit, dude, the Greeks were gay as shit. You have no idea. People were mad that they made Samus's boobs smaller, made her more muscular.
Yeah.
Then there were also people like grumping that they made Snake's ass flatter.
So like Samus like looks good. Like she actually looks, I've seen the before and after, and like she actually looks more like a regular human being with realistic proportions now. But Snake's butt just looks kind of,
It could just be a bad angle, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, I'm not raging about it or anything. I don't even fucking play these games. I was just saying.
He does have no ass. He's like a Hank Hill ass.
Yeah, I was just saying aesthetically, he has a Hank Hill ass, whereas Samus looks like
human.
An ordinary human woman. I mean.
In a skin tight armor connection suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's got a skin tight leotard. He still has those stupid heels, but whatever. You know,
that's weird. Why would you have heels on like a battle suit?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because like her armor is flat footed pretty much too.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. It's a weird aesthetic choice. What else? Oh, Dead or Alive 6.
Okay, so what's is that?
This is a fighting game. That's the SJWs have taken away our jiggle.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, this was the one you told me. I remember the spinoff years ago was like all the fighting game characters were playing volleyball.
Yeah,
and so like all the female characters were just in gratuitous tiny bikinis.
And there was a photo mode and
so much boob physics.
Totally, it's boob physics, butt physics. Like there's a mini game, and I'm saying that because fingers were like. They're both standing on like a styrofoam float and butt bumping each other to knock them into the water. Like it's butt sumo or whatever.
God.
So there totally is this titillation.
It's like
game.
That anime you said was horrible where Kaijo. We would have to use their butts and their
butts
boobs
or boobs
to fight.
It was just hot garbage. I watched like the first episode and was like, well, that's enough of that.
But
anyway, I've watched
Dead
some garbage ass anime too.
But, so they toned down the boob physics.
Yeah, they toned down the boob physics and basically gave a lot of the female characters more covering clothing. Mm-hmm. And that's gotten some people riled up. And they're like, why don't the men are shirtless? What about them? Okay, well, I mean, whatever. Because, you know, everybody is super muscular and or fit and or have big tits if they're women. Except for, like, the one character who's, like, I think she's aged up to 18 in the West and is, you know, flat as a board.
Uh-huh.
You know. So, whatever. There's some cool-ass video games coming. They are people mad about video games because there's always people mad about video games. But there is some cool shit that I'm looking forward to. Octopath Traveler got a demo. It's a RPG for the Nintendo Switch that looks a lot like Final Fantasy VI.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a new demo. I need to download it. There's a new mech game coming out for the Switch. Cyberpunk 2077, from everything I've heard, sounds rad as hell. Cyberpunk, basically, the game came out for it right after, like, Snow Crash and Neuromancer and all that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy was like, this is a fantastic setting. It was dystopia late 80s when it was originally written, but, like, then it was, like, Cyberpunk and Cyberpunk 2020.
Yeah.
Well, now they had to kick it up to 2077 because it's kind of like,
2020 is 2 years.
2020 is a little close by, kind of like the dark, grimdark future of Blade Runner of 2019.
Right. Yeah.
But it apparently is cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like very Shadowrun because it became before Shadowrun essentially. So that's really cool. Other than that, like I've been kind of had to tangentially pay attention to it. Like I catch a couple of things and some of it I've just missed entirely. There's podcasts. There's so many podcasts coming out. So I'm like, I'll absorb some of that while, you know, driving my car or walking the dog. So that's nice. I mean,
that's nice.
It's a nice distraction from the hellscape we live in.
Yeah, yeah, like, true.
There's so much awful shit going on in the world. You kind of have to have a little bit of an escape, even if it does make, you know, the world does make you want to, you know, take up arms.
Mm. On that note, the whole country and actually probably a good chunk of the world got a nice escape the other day because everyone was captivated by the story of the Minneapolis St. Paul raccoon.
Yes, and he survived.
And yes, we are very happy that
we wouldn't be talking about it if he'd fallen to his death, probably.
No, probably not. It would have just been another piece of icing on the shit
this
cake.
This fucking sucks.
Yeah. But no, so this for the two of you that don't know, there's this like 25 story office building in Minneapolis. It's owned by UBS. And this raccoon was apparently on one of those covered walkways foraging for food and started climbing the building. It realized too late that this was an ill-advised decision. So it's just stranded on like the balconies or the windowsills of this office building. And like people from various offices, like the first one I saw was like there was a law firm on the 23rd floor, and like they opened their curtains and the raccoon's just chilling there, like on a window ledge, you know, 23 stories in the air. But the fire department came out and eventually the raccoon made it to the roof where it was rescued and reportedly will be fed and watered because the poor thing was starving because there's nothing to forage for on the side of a concrete building. But it's going to be fed and then released into the woods.
Yeah. So thankfully, the raccoon survived. She scaled this 25-story building.
Yeah.
And it was just like she'd climb a few stories, lay down, take a nap, climb a few more. It's like, I can't go down. I don't know how to go down from this, but I can go up, I guess.
Sort of like cats, like, climb something really tall and then be like,
oh,
how the fuck do I go back?
How do I go in reverse? This does not work. Help. But yes, the raccoon is safe.
And NPR had tweeted basically exactly that. The raccoon is safe. And I'm looking at the responses, and a lot of them were, oh, thank goodness, oh, yay, you go, and stuff like that. And then there was a bunch of bitchy responses about, ugh, how much of our public funding is going to report this? And I'm like, they wrote a tweet, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, yes, there's a lot of and people were, you know, saying like, oh, but what about the doing basically what aboutism? You know, what about the immigrant children that are being locked up? What about Comey? What about the shitty thing the president did? And it's like, yes, all that matters. But
for fuck's sake, we need something.
We need some kind of break that's not an unrelenting hellscape.
And yeah. There was another tweet that I saw. There's a new account that's like incorrect Wheel of Fortune answer.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Reversible graveyard, feral rodeo, where basically it's like partially completed.
It'll have like 2 letters out of 20, and it'll
just
fucking
a wild ass guess.
Yeah.
That's actually a fun Twitter account to follow. I'll put it in the show notes. It's becoming a thing, right?
Yeah.
You really do need a break from, like, watching our government crash everything into the sun.
Yeah.
Like, we've got North Korea and Trump being a dipshit. Like, there's video of him fucking saluting a Korean general, which, you know, remember, you probably don't because it's fucking stupid. And I remember until people, like, brought up screen caps where, like, you know, President Obama, like, saluted with, like, a latte in his hand, and they made hay of it for days.
Yeah, and then people pointed out that W had, he didn't have a latte, but like he'd done like a half-ass salute while he had something else in his hand, or he was holding a dog or something, you know. And it's like the other thing they criticized Obama for was they said he bowed too deeply when he met the Chinese or the Japanese prime minister.
Yeah, but
at the time,
it's so fucking stupid. Like, we need little bits here and there. It's like we're having a trade war with Canada. We're literally making concentration camps in Texas.
Yeah, those are two things I never thought I'd hear anybody like, fucking say and be serious about it.
You know, there's little you can do short of like things that would be illegal to say.
Like, Trump is fucking sucking his dictator's dick, meanwhile pissing off Canada and Mexico, our fucking neighbors, who are like, frankly, if someone's going to lob a missile at us, Canada is a much better position to do it.
Yeah. It's so dumb. Like, he's cozying up to dictators and pissing off our democratic allies. I mean, it's very obvious that this dude is so compromised. And, you know, shit just keeps happening. Like, Cohen is supposedly going to flip. Like, his legal representation abandoned his ass. He's under, like, threat of being arrested, like, basically whenever. Mm-hmm. Same for Manafort. Same for a number of other folks, you know.
Yeah.
Mueller's requesting a shitload more blank subpoenas to fill in the names as he needs fit.
Wow.
You know, like, he requested, like, 90 further subpoenas, which indicates 45 further people of interest.
Damn.
I had to read the thread on it because it was like, that seems like a lot. And it is a lot because it's nearly 4 dozen people under investigation. But he has to have a copy for him, like for the court, and then for like the person being served.
Yeah.
So he has to get, you know, they have to match up. That stuff's still popping off, but we get this flood of shit constantly.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find the little bits.
Some congressperson said something really shitty the other day, and I don't know who it was or what they said. All I remember seeing is a tweet with the link, and it was like, Representative so-and-so said this really shitty thing, and normally that would be like a week-long story, and they would be fucking kicked out of Congress. But you know what? Nobody even knows about this story because, holy shit. You know, what is the president doing?
You know, it was like on the road back from FWA. Tyrion downloads the MSNBC podcast.
Right, yeah.
And it was like, Rachel Maddow was like, hey, you know, we worked all day on this fucking story, but hey, this other big thing happened, so we're just going to throw that aside and talk about this new awful thing.
Yeah.
And the hits just keep coming. It is crazy. But updates. So, unrelated to the government getting its shit slapped, I mentioned last week the third group of the J-20 detainees.
Actually, this is related to the government getting its shit slapped.
Yes, it is. But it's the government getting slapped and not the people for once.
Right, yes.
That the U.S. Attorney for D.C. has just moved to dismiss all charges against 8 defendants, the third group, with prejudice. Basically, like, we're fucked. We can't do shit with this. Because they've already tried 16 other people.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, fuck. So at this point, the prosecution had fucked up super hard. They concealed a bunch of stuff from the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal judge is like, what the fuck? You idiots. What the fuck?
Yeah.
No. And so they're dismissing charges on groups willy-nilly, which is good. Because this was a bunch of people. They're basically going to be political prisoners if they'd gotten their way.
Yeah.
You know, they showed up to protest and got arrested, mass arrested without any proof, like collective guilt bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thankfully, there's at least the federal judge that's not being a dipshit.
Yeah.
Hasn't been replaced by a pointy, by Cheeto there.
Yeah.
There was another one also where a defamation lawsuit against the president was allowed to go forward in New York.
This is different from him blocking people on Twitter.
No, she was a former contestant on The Apprentice.
Uh-huh.
And he defamed her publicly and...
Meaning he tweeted about her, probably.
Probably, I don't know. But basically, the lawsuit was allowed to go forward in some district court. I think it was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
This is unrelated to
the lawsuit judge against the Trump... Foundation
by
and
like
him
the state
and his
AG.
Sons and his daughter, I think, are also
where it's like the Trump Foundation is just laundering money.
Yeah. Nakedly. Yeah. Like, he had a little legal trouble to the tune of like $100,000, and they just laundered the money through the Trump Foundation to make it go away. That's, and this is unrelated to the Stormy Daniels situation. This is a whole, like a whole other situation from like 10 years ago.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, wait, there's this scandal, but that's unrelated to this other scandal, which is also completely unrelated to this other shady bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. It is really important that you not get that confused with this other fuck up.
Yeah, and that's complete. that's just in the state of New York, not Florida or any other state, which is going, what the fuck? You know, it is awful. It's wild.
Yeah.
In other cool news. So
yes.
Switching back, you know, we're like, ah, government is awful, bad, terrible. But also there's some other cool shit that we're going to talk about. But also, ah, government.
Look at this raccoon.
Yay, raccoon. Distraction from our nightmare hellscape of life. So this is something that one of the listeners brought up. Mm-hmm. That's We Greater Than AIDS is a HIV information education group. And they've teamed up with Walgreens in certain places to do free HIV testing on Wednesday, June 27th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at select Walgreens stores around the country. That is like if you're basically there's this big chunk of the country, like if you're north, like I think Colorado is out of luck, but like Colorado, Kansas, north there, then like Montana, Idaho, Utah, like there's some states that are just shit out of luck because there's not Walgreens there. But there's like three stores here in Dallas that are going to be offering free HIV testing. And this is something that's really important for our fandom because we are a very sex positive community.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to know your status. Like this should be basic as shit because, you know, furries love raw dogging it. But you really should be careful when doing so. Know your status. Go get STD tested. Like, I made sure that I was tested clean before I did anything prior to HavenCon. And that's important because, like, I very carefully monitor, you know, like, I only have, you know, I only bang a few people. But it's good to know where we all stand. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know that the other people in this situation get tested as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can have fun and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But free HIV testing, I mean, there's places that also do low-cost testing anywhere else, but this is a specific thing where
it's a wider outreach.
It's a wider outreach. And sometimes even the larger cons offer free STD testing now.
Yeah, that's get an outside recent group. Thing.
I think, to do that. I don't know if Anthrocon does it, but I know
FC that, and MFF, I think, have both done it.
Because furries like to fuck. And if you go to a con, it's good to know where your status is before you engage in any shenanigans.
But did you just mix up shenanigans and chicanery?
Yes. That's kind of what it sounded like. I accidentally the words into this mess. I hate
when that happens. Like, I do that sometimes too.
Like, I accidentally a word when it came to a tweet earlier today and it came off kind of weird.
Uh huh.
Because it was like someone was asking the definition, like, what does this word mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I meant to say, as the other people have said, and I just like missed. People, so as the other have said, and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna delete and repost. It's not rude, it's just weird. Someone was asking, like, what transmisia means.
Hmm.
So, this is actually this
what
is
does transmisia?
Transmisia, well, using the prefix misia, so we have phobia, homophobia, Islamophobia, transphobia. Mm-hmm. It basically externalizes the distaste towards the people. Oh, you're afraid of gay people or anything else. Mm. So misia is a Greek suffix which indicates hate.
Oh.
So it is basically – it is not saying instead you're afraid. Saying
transphobia,
it is saying you are – you hate these people.
Okay.
Yeah. So transmisia, homomisia, it's new. It's not like widely spread thing, but it is something that I've seen a couple people talked about. And I actually looked up a thing, put in the show notes, that basically explains why – people are trying to kind of shift the language a bit because when you're saying, oh, you're just homophobic, they're like, well, I'm not afraid of queers. No, you're not. You hate them. And this is a more accurate, more precise
I really just want someone to respond to that with, yes, you are, you know. And then there's like a couple of really big buff gym queers
that
are like, yeah, we're going to kick your ass. You're afraid of us now? Yeah.
So that was an interesting like little –
That's an interesting idea. Like, but also there's the part of me that's like, well, our language, like, I know it's like a, it's Latin and Greek suffixes and stuff, but also like we're using it in English, and English is a living language. So homophobia has sort of, its accepted use is that you hate gay people. Yeah. Right.
I don't know. It's just,
I see what they're doing. It can be difficult to try to consciously change the language like that.
It's a word. I mean, we know what it means.
Yeah.
And we have a generalized term, but like I've seen it pop up in certain circles as a suffix as opposed to phobia. And I was like, okay, this actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to replace the word overnight, but it is a more accurate statement because, you know, these people, you know, they're not afraid of gays or trans folk. They hate gays and trans folk.
And at the same time, okay, I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but I'm also sort of like I've also seen it explained as actually being hate or fear, rather, because it's fear of the other, fear of the different, you know, and it's the same thing as like fear of other religions, fear of other races, like you're not straight and white. You know, you're queer, you're black and queer, or, you know, you're not like me. And there's a fear there. And like, of course, big, tough, straight guys are going to be like, I'm not afraid. And it's like, well, you know, maybe on a technical, psychological level, you are.
Words are weird.
Yeah.
And if they get adopted into the greater lexicon, no. Oh, sure, whatever.
I ultimately don't care what we call these assholes. I mean, bigot works fine for me too.
Bigoted fuckheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm good if we change it. I'm good if we don't. But I can kind of see both sides of that, I guess. Yeah, I
mean, words.
Language is interesting.
Yeah. English is certainly weird. What's the shirt that Tyrion has? English doesn't borrow from other languages. It follows them down dark alleys, clubs them in the head, and ruffles their pockets for loose grammar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, we have bits of French and Latin and German and English and everything else. We just kludge it all together, and here we go.
It's basically what white people have done to the rest of the world for 6,000 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
We weird language. So, let's see. You did bring something into the topic chat, Fuzz, that there's now a cocky bot.
Mm.
Want to expound on that a little bit.
Okay, so this is a follow-up on Cockygate, which you may remember from a couple weeks ago, where some fuckwit romance writer tried to trademark the word cocky used in a romance book title. And I'm assuming that the cocky bot basically is going to automatically tweet whenever someone tries to trademark something stupid. So some chuckle fuck has tried to trademark the term dragon slayer. Which it's sort of like that's been, I don't know how far back the concept of a dragon slayer goes.
Slay the dragon? The dragon!
Right. Or like how many people have used permutations of that word in a book title, you know? It's just some, basically, these people have gotten the idea from patent trolls and they're trying to apply it to trademark now. And this is actually sort of like years ago, MCA Hogarth was given a C&D by Games Workshop because she wrote Spots the Space Marine. And they said that they owned the trademark for the term Space Marine. And I'm like, fucking Heinlein wrote about Space Marines in the 50s. You know, aliens had Space Marines in the 80s. Like, a Marine in space is not like Games Workshop did not come up with that fucking concept, they basically got put on blast so hard that they stepped back from that. And in the case of the Cockygate thing, I know at least temporarily Amazon has reinstated all the books with cocky in it because they received the paperwork and probably their algorithm or, you know, some non-human system probably just saw the C&D paperwork and automatically deactivated all the titles that they listed. They have since gotten a human being involved and eventually reinstated those. And a judge has smacked down, at least she has two trademarks for cocky. And one of them has been smacked down already because one of the trademarks was like for the word in this particular typeface, like whatever the script font is that she used. And the thing is that the font is owned by whatever company made that font.
Yeah.
So she can't trademark somebody else's work. So that one of her two trademarks is basically dead. Because they're like, this typeface is owned by somebody else, so that can't be part of your trademark. And now there's this new one about Dragon Slayer, and I'm like, well, I guess we'll see where that goes, but
probably not going to be a bit of a not going to succeed very well. I don't.
No, think. Like these are really weak trademarks. Like they're you have to be able to defend a trademark. And when you can be like, look at the last 400 years of human literature, then it's really difficult to be like, well, yeah, you came up with this concept. You know, it's sort of like one of like the patents that Apple or Google or Amazon or fucking one of these companies has is something like a method of storing data.
It's or like, having controllers that detach.
Yeah.
There's somebody trying to sue Nintendo for that.
For the Switch.
For the little controllers.
Detachable that come off the sides. Things. Yeah. And there's like patents for the sending and receiving of information. You know, it's like people that patented the concept of email like decades after it was created. And it's like, come on.
No.
So, yeah, that ridiculous shit is still happening.
So, let's see.
What else we got here?
I think we've... we got an email. Let's see. Okay. So, this is a email we got from Linty Platypus.
Okay.
So, you can email us, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can send us a Tumblr ask at southpawscast.tumblr.com. And just send us communication that way. So, the Battle of the Five Studios. Dear Southpaws, having listened to your most recent episode wherein you make a reference to recently purchasing the Hobbit trilogy, I thought I might recommend a deep dive into the making of the three movies by Lindsay Ellis. YouTube link.
Mm-hmm.
They are generally entertaining and insightful, and even includes an interview with one of the actors who played one of the main dwarf characters. So, that's cool. This came in today at like 3 o'clock, so I should check that out. Because those are fun, and like the iTunes extras that you get with the
is Lindsay Ellis the one that's like the nostalgia? No, Nostalgia Critic's a guy.
Nostalgia,
but there's Nostalgia something else that's
nostalgia
like
Nostalgia Chick. I don't
something
know.
Something like
the
that.
The name Lindsay Ellis
is familiar.
Yeah, but oh, stop playing audio.
Shit, that ship. She's gonna sue us.
I think that is Nostalgia Chick. Yeah.
Okay.
And they did. Wow. They did at least three videos that are half an hour long apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, that's right. I was watching part of her video on how Bright is lazy as hell. And got partway through it and was like, this is long and I have other shit to do.
Yeah.
This is not a knock against this Lindsay Ellis, but it is one of those. I'm not going to devote all my time to watching a YouTube video.
Like, if you're really into film theory and deconstructing a plot, like a script or the production of a film, it's really interesting. But if you're not like super, super into those details, it's just someone bitching about a movie for 30 minutes.
Yeah, and like I got out of watching like half in the bag because they would get really pedantic and stupid over certain things where it's like,
what's you know, half in the bag?
Half in the bag's the Red Letter Media guys.
Oh, okay.
Where they like do an hour-long rip-apart of a movie, or they're like, this is really cool, I like it, because thing.
They do it without the, like, the serial killer basement aspect?
Okay. Yeah. They have the same guy, like Rich Evans, I think his name is, where he's playing a different character.
Okay.
So not the serial killer, I made some pizza rolls. Like, that was that was what got them into prominence, but they've settled out into being more general media goobers.
Mm-hmm.
Though I'm kind of like, eh. It's because their shit's so long form,
right?
That I'm not going to take the time to watch it most of the time unless it's really a movie that I want to see. Yeah. But then again, I'm also super not interested in, like, a quartet of white dudes picking apart Black Panther, so I'm not going to necessarily watch
that. Ah, is that one of them?
Really? I'm not certain. Okay. I'm pretty sure it is, but I haven't looked. Because I'm not going to go seek out some rando's opinion on the movie that I like. I like that. It was cool.
So this is sort of a joke on us in the past. What do you call three white guys?
A podcast.
Yes.
Yep. If there's, you know, the sacrament of white dudes, whatever, they're three gathered in the name of podcasting. Yeah, there will be a show.
So I have a one cool thing that I was going to throw out there, because it was a link that I had put in there. So this is on, like, the Interesting Shit in London website. The London Necropolis Railway, Trains for the Dead. So back in the day, like, London was getting really busy. There's a lot of people moving there. You're talking 19th century here. And, you know, people were dying, and the place to bury them was quite far away. So they came up with the idea of, we'll have basically funeral trains instead of everyone, like, walking or taking a carriage ride there. They'll all get on the train. And this faced a lot of uphill challenges, like people were concerned about using train cars that had previously had a dead body in it. So they solved that by... the Necropolis Railway has its own cars, isn't used by the rest of the system. And then, and this is really irritating and very, like, fucking London at the times. The other concern that was raised was of social classes mixing. So there's, like, a first class funeral carriage, and there's, like, a second class funeral carriage. Because, yes, we all knew this dead person, but we cannot allow the social classes to mix. Anyway, most of the railway associated with this is gone now. But there is actually one building that is left standing. And it's the terminus station of the railway. And you can go see it. And there's like... I just thought this was like an interesting, weird little thing that I was like, huh, they had a railway for the dead. That's pretty fucking cool. And put the link in the show notes. Like, this I just thought it was interesting.
It was a cool thing.
Yes. They were called Necropolis Stations.
Yeah, it's metal as hell.
It is. It's a 23-mile trip, took 40 minutes. And the living passengers could enjoy what was intended to be a comforting view of the green scenery whizzing past.
Nice. All right, well, that's probably going to wrap it up for this week, unless we have anything else. Not a long episode this time,
but... I'm nuts deep in Anthrocon prep.
Yeah, Anthrocon is in less than a month. My birthday is in 10 days. Yay! I've got a weekend planned for that. That'll be cool.
Nice.
It's on a Sunday, so I'll, like, do family stuff and then also see my friends on my usual Sunday crew, so that'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's keep on keeping on, guys. Hang in there.
No, I just thought you're going to have your usual Sunday with your friends, you know, pull your dick out, slap it on the table. This dick is 35 years old.
No.
Thwack, thwack, thwack. Look at it. Look at it.
Show up with the paddle.
I could do that. I have the old podcast paddle.
Oh, man. Let's not. So, first of all, you can find the show on patreon.com at SouthPawsCast. We do our shows daily, at least, and higher bitrate. We appreciate everybody that's helping us out with that. It's making a little bit extra.
Hello, patrons!
We appreciate you.
We need to do another movie night soon.
We do.
You mentioned you haven't seen Oliver and Company.
I have not seen Oliver and Company. I have not seen a lot of things.
You probably just sent fucking shockwaves through the furry sphere.
I know. With that. Like, yeah. I've only seen the porn featuring these characters.
The porn is good.
We need to do another Fox Wolf movie night. Sheev and I should sit down and watch some more Steven Universe, because even though we watched like 13 episodes of season one, we didn't sit down and podcast anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to finish wrapping up season one with her.
Right.
So we can do some supplementary Patreon exclusive content.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you can find me on Twitter @SavrinDrake. Find me on Twitch @Savrin. Buzz, what about you?
You find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. All my links to all my other stuff is at fuzzwolf.com. I've actually just posted some new commissions, YCHs that I picked up to my Furfinity account. If you like spanking, they're all spanking. I just went on like a binge of like getting commissions lately, and I hadn't done that in a long time. So that was kind of fun. And forplanet.com and baddogbooks.com are my stores. Anthrocon coming up here in a couple of weeks. I won't be there personally, but Savern will be there along with my husband and all of our friends that help out at forplanet. We are on row A, and we will be right next to Soap Wolf Press. Soap Wolf usually has a booth on the other side of the dealer's room for us, but this year is a little different. We have three tables, and they have three tables, and we're right next to each other. So it's going to be like
a wall of books.
It's going to be like Book Central in this one area, and everybody knows each other and gets along. So like we can totally like watch each other's shit when someone's on lunch and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
that'll be nice.
Yeah. Like, because we're going to, there'll be like five people at the For Planet table, and then there's going to be at least three or four at the Sofa Wolf table as well.
So. All these dudes with books.
Yep.
Cool. So on that note, good night.
And fuck Nazis.
Fuck Nazis.
It's an evergreen ending statement.